leave a voicemail, nothing. Mike, I don't know if you experienced that with him, but there was a time where it was almost 2 years of silence. And I would pray, and that was probably outside of Victoria's passing. That had to be the time where I prayed for Mark and his wife more than any other time in his life, because I didn't hear from my best friend. And I knew he hadn't gone off the deep end, and I knew he hadn't been transported to heaven yet. So I'm wondering, constantly wondering, what's wrong? What was wrong was a child who needed help. And Mark and Cheryl were doing everything they could to minister, to be solid, to be there. And of course, I didn't know that at the time. I sensed it. And I probably prayed for their family more at that time than any other time. You probably have family members or believers that you know, Christians, that sometimes that happens. It seems like, where'd they go? They disappeared. Not necessarily. They might be in a cave. Dave was in a cave of Adullam, remember? And it was in that cave that David trained his men. It was in that cave of discouragement that God brought David's family. Remember his brothers who, what are you doing here? Why aren't you guarding the sheep? They all ended up in the cave of Adullam because they knew there was a godly man there. So I knew I needed a godly man for the end of our conference. So that's why we asked Brother Mark to come. Mark, would you preach to us tonight? Thank you. Again, let's give him a Lancaster welcome, could we? I have to stand up here because I'm so short. But you can stand there and tower over everyone. Sure.
You can stay behind me and clean it all up.
How's that?
La.
There you go. Galatians 3 for a moment. Ephesians 3, Philippians 3, quick review. Begin finishing well. On Sunday morning, we spoke of promised. If you look in Galatians 3, you will see the principle of promise and promises, the promise of God in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We spoke of, begin finishing well right off the bat. If you do not live in your salvation that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ by His promise every single day, you can't even get off the starting blocks. You need to start right there. Every day, being reminded, oh, thank you for saving me, Jesus, amen. You better go a little bit further than that and be reminded of what He did for you in a much deeper way, because it centers you back to the idea that I'm going to have to begin finishing well when I go through some of the life's challenges. Jesus Christ said, hey, guys, in this life you shall see tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So when you think of the world and what it can do, be reminded of the promises of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, His salvation. Secondly, Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3, we looked at gifted. And we looked at Sunday evening this idea that in the body of Christ, God has completely orchestrated by the Spirit of the living God, again, reiterating the promises of God that He has each one of us gifted for his purpose. Now, often the church does not completely, really live in the place that God has for it because many of its members, as God has, the Bible says, fit perfectly, put in there right exactly the way he wants to. In 1 Corinthians 12, he says he adds to the body as he sees fit. He puts things together, but we sometimes in the church gatherings don't necessarily allow God to gift us in his giftedness the way he desires to do so. So we miss out on what Paul the Apostle is saying when he says, hey, I became a minister. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift, verse number 7, of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Each one of you has been gifted. Whether or not you really grab a handle on that, that is your choice. But can you imagine what it would be like for this church to head into 2020 after an incredible 2019 and say, God, we begin to finish well whatever you have for us, and we're going to do it centered up on what you've gifted us to do as a corporate body, but as individuals in the body of Christ. Saying, okay, Pastor, what would you have us to do? I look forward to what God does as God gives you the next piece and the next step of his more for your ministry. But giftedness is very, very important. Your talents, they're good. They're wonderful. But that giftedness is really, really strong. Of course, Richard sent out an email. He sent it to me. Hopefully, you read pastor's emails. And he sent out an email that tied together with my utmost for his highest, a devotion that he read on Monday morning. And just by coincidental, it was about talents and gifts. It was really, really pretty strong and powerful. We go to Philippians 3 last night. Philippians 3, the title of our message was, and the theme of it was, loss. Verse number 7 and verse number 8. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He's referencing all this incredible accomplishments and achievements that he was given, Paul the Apostle. Really, we brought it to the place of every one of us being confronted with the idea that everything we have, people, relationships, achievements, all, would we be willing to say, God, take it. I count it all but loss. My life is but loss for the excellency of Jesus Christ, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. He said in verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things for but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. And he says, basically, that's okay. I count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Colossians chapter number 3. Say, how in the world did you come up with, you know, these three little, I don't know, just God. As I prayed through this and walked through it, so much of what was coming across was, and even Pastor Rich was saying that he understands in the Spirit of God what God wanted to do with this time in the Word through these messages. To bring the clarity and direction for First Bible Baptist Church in Lancaster, New York through these simple three chapters and parts of and segments of each one of these chapters in a way that sends a message that all comes together in unified way for you to begin to finish well this year end into the next year. Each one of us should desire for the next step in God. What do you want for me next, God? What's the next step? Well, what's the next step for your ministry? Well, to get some basics down and to really look at the practicality of the walk with the Lord, I believe, is always good. Every spring training, we went, as professional ball players, we went through the fundamentals. We had spring training and went through every single drill over and over again, and we were held to a higher standard every time. As I say often to people that are either in business or they're in sports or they're in ministry, whatever, the first year is the easiest. The first year of raising a child is the easiest. It's the next 50 that are tough. So you have to raise your kids until they're that old? Some you have to. The first year of ministry seemed like, oh, this is so easy. The first year of everything, the first thing of everything. But in order for you to be someone of excellence and a church of excellence, you need to continue and continue. What a great study in the Word of God. You're my disciples indeed if you continue in my Word. Jesus Christ told his disciples, continue. Show me. Prove me. Well, here we are tonight. Wow, if we got to this point, is there more? Well, in Colossians chapter, now Colossians, you got to just, what an incredible book in your Bible. Of the 66, it might be regarded as the one that points to and shines light on Jesus Christ more than any other. It might be said that. He is the head of the body, the church. He has preeminence over all. God in His Word proclaims the perfectness, the beauty, the glory of His Son, Jesus, and so much of Colossians. And we're reminded that this church in Colossae had to get back to being reminded that it's just Jesus. Only Jesus. But the body is of Christ in chapter 2. Principalities and powers in Christ. The circumcision of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul the Apostle puts so much in here about the Lord Jesus Christ. For by Him were all things created that in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities. That's verse 16 of chapter number 1. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Jesus Christ is the preeminent one, and we know that, but it's just exclaimed and just screamed out through these simple four chapters of the letter to the church at Colossae. So here we are in chapter number 3. Above all, let me just put up the highlight verse and let's read the passage of Scripture. There's verse number 14 right up on the screen, nice and big and bold, and above all these things, put on charity. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Makes things complete. Puts things together in a finished way. Boy, this theme about perfectness, being perfected. Wow. You see, one day you're going to walk into glory. Woohoo! Perfected. Completed. But let me just remind you of a simple statement that Paul was making in Philippians chapter number 3 last evening. You are already perfected and perfect in Him. And there's no other formulas. There's no other special little ingredients. No set of rules and regulations that will make you more perfect than you're already perfect in Jesus Christ. Everything is perfected in Him. It's whether or not you want it to come out. Whether or not you want it to just kind of just shine out. Because if you do a Gospel of John study and you hear Jesus Christ proclaim, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am. I am. I am. Bless you. You're welcome. And in this passage here, we see, above all these things, put on charity. Ooh. Charity? Loving others? Yeah. Above all. Verse number 8 we start at. Here we go. But now, ye also put off all these. What do you put off? You put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He is writing this to believers. He is writing this to you, which means they had an issue with sin in the church then, just like we have it today, because we often choose to live in our flesh and our carnality. You say, what do you put off these things? Yeah, because he said in verse number 2, set your affection on things above, not things of this earth. He says, live in me and for me, and I am all in all, and you are all in me. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Just live as though you have this perfection in Christ, and you can be all in all in Christ. God's given you permission, all of us permission, to just simply live the Spirit-filled life in Jesus Christ. And boy, when we do, it's so sweet. I say often to people, have you ever had a perfect day? A perfect day. Where just you and God were in communion, in worship and walk. The Word of God was alive. It was dwelling in you richly. Oh, we're going to get to that verse here in a minute. And you go, wow, this is really neat. And then tomorrow comes. Give no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow, take care of itself. Sufficient unto this day is the evil thereof. Which follows a beautiful verse in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, God's word is always backing up what it could be like with what it may be like in you if you just... But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So here we are as we continue here in our reading, verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, in Jesus Christ, once you get saved, you become in his elect. You're not the Israel elect. That was an elect of the nation of Israel. That's God's thing for them. By the way, future elect's going to come when he deals with Israel again. So he's got to complete that. But when you get saved, you are now in his elect. Not ahead of time, but when he puts you in. But you have to, by faith, receive that free gift. So he says, hey, elect of God, you're his church. Good doctrine right here by Paul. Thank you. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, this is what you're supposed to put on. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We spoke about forgiveness last night. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. But we always tell the kids to do that with their brothers or sisters. Right? But parents. It's amazing how many verses are in the Bible that are only for children. And they're not for us. Isn't that great how God did that? So we take out our Sharpie. That's got to be for the kids, not for us. No, this is for us. Verse 13, forbearing one another. Put up with each other. That's all. Put up with them. Well, you got to put up with each other. Right, Uncle Mikey? You got to put up with me for a long time. I put up with you too, so don't worry about that. Forgiving one another. There you go. Forgiving one another. Let that sin go. Put up with, forbear, forgive, let it go. So here we are. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Boy, these Bible verses are beautiful. I heard this Bible is like alive and everything. So here we go, verse 14. And above all these things, God, you want more? Oh, God, you're so demanding. That's all right. He's worth it. He's worth every single bit of it. I shared with you last night. He can have everything he wants. I don't maybe like the way it went, but he can have it. That's an incredibly difficult reality. But if you said, I'm signing up with you, God, in the name of Jesus, whatever you say, and he says, okay, I may test you. But the trying of your faith worketh patience. He may try you to prove you. That's in the Bible. He says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond. Bond, the glue of perfectness. Endeavoring to keep unity of spirit in the bond of peace. He says, I'll put it together. I will show you that charity. When you put it on, it's the bond of perfectness. This is above all, church, brothers and sisters. We put this on, we've got something going on. You might be able to move something here. Whatever it may be, you won't need comparatives or superlatives. You'll just do what God wanted you and had you and directed you and led you to do in the Spirit by the Word of God, by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, when it really comes back to it, is the simplicity of the power of what we do in the name of Jesus Christ, which, by the way, is coming in our passage. Here we go. Verse number 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, due to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, all 50 of you tonight were singing with grace in your hearts, right? Grace. Sing with grace. A merited favor. Sing with grace. Because it's a sweet thing to do. It's just, it's great. And the grace is in your heart. So here's verse 17. Another one of those, oh boy. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ugh, where's the black Sharpie? No, we can't black Sharpie this one. We highlight this one. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come and just simply pray. We make our simple plea to you. We beseech you. We beseech you. We call to you to do that which you desire to do. Walk through our time in your word and teach as only you can. One of the pieces of the office of the Holy Spirit is to teach, to reprove, to minister the word, to give understanding. Jesus told his disciples that he would do so. So we're counting on that tonight as we have the last couple of days, and we really believe that you are at work teaching us. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We rely on its power to do that which only supernaturally can be done, to change us from the inside out. And tonight we realize that by reading this scripture and having us hone in on this, you've led us to this place. I really believe that, God, that when we begin to finish well, above all, we need to have charity. Above all. And Peter's letter says, fervent charity toward one another. Oh, that bond of perfectness. Oh, that beauty in Jesus. I pray, have your way. Direct us, lead us, show us. Bring us to our knees and our hearts. Really do what you need to do to have your way in this church, this ministry, in each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you, what are some of the most important things, most important principles, most important lock-in, lockdown things in your Christian walk? You've all been here being taught the Word of God. I know this man well enough to know that you're being taught the truth with grace. So let me just hear from you. What are some of the most important principles that you've learned for your Christian walk? Give me one. Yes. Walk by faith, not by sight. The faith that we walk by trumps the law, not by sight. Amen. What else? We'll go to the smart side over here. Oh, you raised it. I got you. Go ahead. Die to self. Ooh. For me to live is Christ and to die is? Philippians. I looked it up ahead of time. No, I didn't. I just... Yes. Ooh, so we're crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. We're in the newness, in a new life. I love that one. That is a great principle of your Christian walk. What else? Yes. One day at a time. One day at a time. It's a great principle. What you have today, you live in. If I'm going to go forward, I need to leave things behind, and I need to look to what's before me. Remember Philippians last night? Yes. Forsaking all others. Oh, Jesus Christ said. Those phrases really trouble me in the Bible. When he says, you cannot be my disciple. Oh, I don't like that. So I got to go read it back and read it because he says, if you will not hate mother, father, and even your own self, you cannot be my disciple. That's some rough teaching in Luke chapter number 14, but it's the truth of how Jesus is delivering it, to tell these disciples, you better count the cost if you're going to follow me, because I require all, period. What else? What's another important principle?
Looking for his return.
Ooh. Paul said, it's laid up for me a crown. Looking for his appearing. Now that's Timothy, of course. We get stuck between Timothy and... Can you imagine him discipling me? That's why I had to go, Mike, would you help untangle what... Between the two of them, look at it, I'm a mess. And then he had Bobby, oh, Father God. Do they know Bobby? Oh, God. Yes. Ooh, thankfulness, forgiveness. Last night we talked about those. Faithfulness. Yes. Put on the whole armor of God. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians. He says that to us. Finally. There's another above all in that passage right there in Ephesians 6. Ooh. I heard that we will be acquainted with his sufferings. He says, yeah, there will be. Pardon me? Amen. If you think walking with Christ and being all in Christ is not going to include suffering, you're not. That's there. So here's a good one. What would be the one thing above all others that must be in place for you? You don't have to answer that. That's your question. What's the one thing above all other things for you to begin finishing well? Whatever stage of life you're in, it may be time to begin finishing well. And it has to be every day. Daily. There's a good study in the Bible if you look up the word daily. If you don't know how it goes, ask your pastor. He's done it before. I had somebody type it up nice and clean. I'll send it to you sometime. The things that God asks us to do daily. You see, we have to look at ourselves and say, God, above all others, there's something in me that I need to put above. So, here's the one that God says in this passage of Scripture through Colossians chapter number 3. Now, let me read you something. December 22, 2017. Dear Mark and Cheryl, wishing you a blessed Christmas. The gap in the void that has been left behind can only be filled by the Father's understanding. He knows what you are experiencing. He is there and has been there. His love will comfort you. His grace will strengthen you. His mercy will cover you. And His majesty and glory will bring you to that place of reverence and worship so that you are not separated from His intercession and provision. Romans chapter number 8, 31 through 39. Oh, how we yearn to be with you, but our prayers are with you and your family, as well as celebrating with you, your granddaughter, all our love, Rich and Cindy Shear. That's your pastor and his wife. Above all, I thank you again for your love. Mike, Louise, thank you for your love. You think the love that God has bestowed upon you in Jesus Christ through your brothers and sisters in the Lord, I'm going to bring something to you now for each one of you, just to reiterate something very powerful and strong. You think you may know who the Holy Spirit of God is until you need that true comfort. And the comfort of the Holy Ghost shows up in the Holy Spirit in you when you show up in someone's life in the name of Jesus. And it'll overwhelm your life, your soul, your mind, your heart, your every part of your being. When someone comes and says, I'm here to hold you up in prayer in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, according to His powerful word that says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the Holy Spirit's incredible evidence of life in you. I mentioned the gifted on Sunday night. I said, if you are truly born again, you're a child of God, the Spirit of God, again, is in you, then there should be something that's going on that is of God, in God, that shows the giftedness of Him. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. It's against such, He says, there is no law. And then He powerfully says at the end of that chapter, if you are in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. God wants more from you and me. But He will do the more if you just say, God, do so. What we don't like to do is put off so He can then say, I'll do it. And then you put on, above all, this charity. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. So in our simple teaching this evening from the Word of God, just verse by verse, we're going to bring some things to light. And I want you to understand a principle here of this putting off and putting on so that you can get to the place where it's above all. That it's above all that we have this kind of life in Christ. You see, the very first principle, the very first thing I want you to see here is above all, you and I need to adopt a strong principle of putting off pride and sins. I put the plural there, sins, because that's a list. And by the way, there's a lot of those kinds of lists in the Bible of sins. Sometimes you need to read it that way. Concupiscence, lasciviousness, and on they go. I put pride there because that's the generator of so much of this, and I don't put off things for the most part because I'm so prideful and arrogant. I believe I can carry them along with the cross that Jesus Christ said I'm to bear in Him. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up Jesus' cross. No. Take up personally. I was taught that a long time ago by you. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You don't know the cross I have to bear. No, the cross isn't Jesus. It's Him. It's His life and His death. That's why He says in Acts 1:3, the passion that He took. As I mention often, it's the only place in your King Jimmy that it says that. Passion. It's not the passion that we translate it to if you look it up. It's suffering. Concordances are fun. You learn an awful lot. So when it says here, above all, the first above all is that I need to adopt a strong principle of putting off pride and sins. What does that say there? Let me put my little notes here and I'm going to read something to you. And I'm going to tie it back to last night's message and go forward with this thing. But now ye all also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So he's saying, hey, put this off. Put off the old man. But he's speaking to the Christian. Christians do these sins. We do these. We do. What is the matter with us? He says in Romans 8, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Rich, you showed it this last night. I'm going to read you two things. Victoria Brown's journal. Can you imagine the stuff that my wife and I have about this young lady who happens to be our girl? Do you ever get a chance to peek into your kids' journals? I'm talking about, you can't. This is left behind for us. December of 2012. Dear Lord, thank you for special relationship. I let my emotional state get the best of me sometimes, but I want you to be in control of how I react. Please give me the spirit I need to build up people around me instead of tearing them down. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the beginning of the journal entry. This is what she writes. This is 4 years before. This is 4 years ago. I mean, 4 years before she's taken off this earth. This is her battle. And then I'm going to relate it to Romans 8. I'm going to relate it to what we just read here about putting off. I tend to take relationships for granted, she writes, and it starts with my relationship with God. As my health hangs in the air, all I can think is pray, 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 talk to God. Let Him know how I feel in every moment. Let Him know I am scared. Let Him know I want to please Him. Let Him know I am sorry and ask for His forgiveness. I truly want to do what is right. I want to please Him. I want to witness to others. I have this attitude of not worrying or thinking or caring about what others see me as. It is time to take that to the next level. Let them see Jesus. Let them hear Jesus. Life is complicated and I can't keep it all sorted in my head. All these men in my life want to be with me after the fact, after hurting me, after breaking my heart, after taking a piece of me and running it over and disappearing. I do desire quiet. You realize I'm letting you peek into a girl, my daughter's life? Because I think it's important. I prayed over this deeply. I've never read this. I've read a few different things. There's so much. This is, how quick am I to let God work on me? He is my shepherd.
just like Dad talked about Sunday, I believe God can help these feelings of sadness, depression, mental instability, weakness. He is the ultimate healer. Why do I not put my faith in him more, good and bad? Why is he not my first thought, only thought, time to make it? That's an entry in December of 12, 4 years before. Now let me read you the last entry she ever wrote in this pink journal. This is why we want it so bad. We didn't know what she wrote in it, but this is just before, this is the December of 2016, which is 4 years after that. Well, it's not quite January, but I'm ready to start over. I have fought such a battle over the years of trying to fit in and begging to be loved and appreciated outside my home that I have lost the adoration from the most important people in my life, my family. You understand that this is 4 years later. Understand the progression of not putting off. Not putting off. Not putting off pride and sin. I share this with great brevity, but I believe it's important. For you to begin to finish well, you need to really just deal with stuff with God. Period. Just deal with it. You don't have to go through the whole salvation process again. You're already born again. He's already taken care of it. He's freed you from it. Just lay it down. She couldn't lay it down. It cost her her life. Now let me read Romans 8:13 for you. You want to go there with me? Go. Let me show you something. Let me show you something that really will strike you to the heart of the meaning of Scripture that Paul's writing here in Romans chapter number 8. Because we've lived it. And this is true. And this is real. He starts out chapter number 8, verse number 6, 7. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of this. So, of course, if you're lost, you're lost. But if you're saved and you live in the Spirit, it's a whole different life. You live in the flesh, it's a whole different life. Born again, still saved, but living in the flesh. What could it come down to? Listen. Paul's straight up here. This'll pierce your heart when you understand really what this means, because it's laying to you right in black and white. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 10. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That should be woohoo, because he's going to take you up. And he dwells in you. But here's the tough part. Verse number 12, verse number 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye now let me read this now. I just read it earlier. Now let me read it. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. That doesn't say spiritual death. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Just watch out. It says in 1 John 5, if there were sin unto death, I would not that you would pray for it. Watch out. Understand the truth of the Word of God when he says in Hebrews chapter number 12, the chastening of the Lord, it could lead to a really tough chastening. This is the truth of the Bible. So I would rather live there and God can take me whatever, do whatever, but when you live in the flesh and not in the Spirit, if you do it that way, see, we don't talk about this. We don't preach the Word of God like it's taught by God to teach it, which is, you live in the Spirit, when you stand before the Lord, it's good. You live in the flesh, you stand before the Lord, even saved so as by fire, judgment seat of Christ, suffer lots of loss. And the pain and agony that goes along with it in the family. I am so sorry for my friends that I did not communicate with them. It was nothing personal. I didn't want to burden them and bother them. I knew they'd pray because they, in the Spirit of God, are going to listen. What we went through for 3+ years of Victoria's life, before her life, was this right here. And when I read this entry in December of 16, 4 years later, it says this: I am not perfect, but my dad taught me such key lessons in life that I cling to on a regular basis because it seems to be the only hope I have. Remember, she was mentioning Jesus before. She mentioned God before. Now she's hanging on because she's walked a little bit away. But see, in December of 16, the first of the year, I read the verse out of 2 Corinthians. She got her Bible back and started looking at God again. She says, in referencing to the man that she was with, I never win with Daryl, no matter how many yeses I give him. He was not a good person at all. It's the most destructive relationship she ever had in her life. She had some tough ones, but. Which, again, if you don't put it off, what are we doing? The Bible says, don't tempt the Lord. Oh, gosh. If you don't put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, these are the nice, easy ones. Why want one another? Those are good. Those are easy ones. I am not disparaging my beautiful daughter. No way. I held her. She says, here at the end, I pour out, it's never enough, there's always something I'm not doing right. I just want to be treasured and adored while still remaining submissive and with discipline. Why does that seem to be so hard to find and cultivate properly? Now listen, it's her last sentence that she ever wrote. Is it because I'm leaving God completely out of the mix? Forget number one, I'm not even putting him on the list at all. That's powerful. Church. I speak of that respectfully. Not so stories can be told, but rather the testimony of the scripture, which is true, that if we do not put off, it could be goofy. It could get goofy. He says, even in Galatians 5, the flesh lusteth against the spirit. The works of the flesh are manifest: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Because the inheritance is taken away. Salvation. But what rewards are you going to get? He says, hey, put off sin. Put off the sin. Put off the pride. Because we're getting to the place of the next few verses. So back to Colossians, if you turned over to Galatians. But Colossians chapter number 3. I've only got 3 points and no poems. So just hang in there. Okay. Here you go. Number 2, real simple. Here we go. I'll tie this together. I know it's New Year's Eve. You need to go home and have a glass of water and a cracker. That's what you're having tonight. There we go. You got spoiled the last couple nights, man. There's soup in there and grilled cheese. You guys, you're spoiled. Huh? Oh, my goodness. Above all, secondly, verse number 10 through 14. There's a lot here. Develop a fresh perspective. You know you're supposed to put on, but you need to develop a fresh perspective of putting on humility and love. That's what's in these next few verses. Watch them. And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, he says it's, we're all in Christ. It says Christ is all and in all. There's no division, bond or free, it's we're all in Christ, all in all. And put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
I won't mess you up, Dave. We won't need this for a minute here. I'll bring it back. Now, I'm not going to take all my clothes off, I promise. In your life, I need to put off pride, and I need to put on humility. I need to look and say, okay, God, what do you want me to put on? Well, I can put on forgiveness, but boy, being a forgiving person is really hard. Corinthians chapter number 13. You know the passage of Scripture. It's another one of those things when you read it, you go, boy, I don't like that. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse number 1. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am what? Would you like to be nothing? Would you like to be nothing? We're supposed to put on. Put on, above all things, charity, which is the bond of perfectness. If I'm in 1 Corinthians 13 and I'm really reading this with meaning and not just, well, let me just read it at a wedding. That's a nice little passage for those little married couple peoples. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But not for anybody else. I mean, but he says there, as you continue down, you go, oh my goodness, he's probably stoking it up a little bit. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. I've got to put on charity. I've got to put on something that I have in Jesus Christ, because you don't naturally have it. Well, that person is such a loving person. Well, you go up to New Hampshire, and those people, they're not very nice. Hey, step off of New Hampshire there. Come on. Oh, upstate New York, those people are really tough. You guys are awesome. You're wonderful. In Jesus. You say, well, when you put that on, you can fool people. Sure you can. It depends what and how and why. Because now we say, I'm going to put on charity. I'm going to put it on because it's something that's evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is all in all, which means it's the opposite of nothing. It's everything. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Right? Right? Okay, so now Colossians chapter number 3 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humility, humbleness of mind, and meanness and longsuffering. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Sounds familiar. I guess God wants to reiterate and iterate and then reiterate and then just bang us on the head and say, I want you to put this stuff on because it's in Christ by the fruit of the Spirit that you will have this evidence of Him being alive in you. You say, I like to be grumpy all day. And put that off. Put off the anger. Put off the malice. Put off the blasphemy. Put off the filthy communication out of your mouth, Mark Brown. Stop. Put it off. You go back to verse number 4 of chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians. It says, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Closely meaning words, reiterating the idea that humility, humility, humility. Aren't I the most loving person you know? Aren't you just so blessed to have me in your presence? Nobody's agreeing with me. I guess that puffing up thing just is not right. Charity does not puff up. It doesn't vaunt itself. So, when you bring this back and forth, you go, wait a minute, verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly,
seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth, but where there's prophecies, they shall fail, with his tongues they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now I go back to Colossians 3. Go back to Colossians 3, and it says what? Above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, which means we look like we are complete and finished work in the Lord Jesus Christ, all in all. You say, so all you're doing is preaching this legalistic, fundamental baloney that you just can't sin anymore. That's not what I said. That's not what I said. Don't twist what I'm saying. It's all in all, our perfectness is in Christ. It's all available to us in the Word of God. It's all available to us in the complete finished work in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who sit at the right hand of the Father. It is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man. You're not the man. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the man. And in that, the man, women and men, we are in Christ, all in all. So above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, because as charity has been spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13, it ties right together with the humbleness of mind, the meekness, the long-suffering, the forbearing one another. It's easy. And God, by the way, you say you're not there right now, just let him keep on working. I am so thankful for how he's working in me and continues to do so, because I want to be more like Jesus Christ. I do. I want more. I want more of his filling. I want more of his presence. I want more of that progress and sanctification that continues. If I say, Lord, I'd rather look more like Jesus than myself. I tell our bunch at First Bible in Rochester? Where is there? We're everywhere. Gosh. I'm sure glad we don't share our offerings, but the big church could send us some money. That would be helpful. Thank you. Yeah, I probably won't go very far. I know the pastor, he's a missionary. Can't get money out of missionary. Oh my God. But they want it. I'm just kidding. He's a pastor now. I'm going to get in trouble. Don't tell Kevin what I said. Pastor Kevin's going to get me. I know. It's not recording this. Help me, Jeff. Help me. Help me. Help me. Get back to the recording and fix it. But I tell them often, I just get tired of myself. Just so tired of me. Tired of me. Do you ever get tired of you? Don't get tired of the presence of Jesus Christ, though. Don't ever get tired of the evidence of life of him. I like when he is evident in my life. I like when that happens. Simple illustration as we tie this together in verses number 15 and 16. Let me push the button one more time. Here we go. Bam! Thank you for the help, Eric. You're the man. You didn't want to see me dance anymore.
Making a mess on this here.
Did I mess this up again?
Preachers are just not very nice. He did.
See, that's the other thing. You don't see him back there. Gosh, those guys. We were doing okay for a while. I was misbehaving. I just put on charity. Here we go. Let me give you a simple illustration here to help you out. Your son's name is Ethan. Can you come here a minute real quick? Can you come here a little quick? I just want to use you for a minute. You ever play baseball before?
Yeah.
T-ball? T-ball? You pretty good? You hit that ball pretty good? Is your sister better than you? No? Are you kidding me? Okay, so you stand right over there, would you please? And I want you to face me. Now, you ever watch a baseball game? I know your dad's not a big baseball fan, but you don't.
Yeah, I have.
You have? Is it boring?
At the start, because we had to wait so long. And it's funner at the end because the fireworks.
I love this kid. Give me a high five, my man. I go to the ball game. It's boring. I have to wait. But at the fireworks, I love baseball. He's the same as everyone else. So, you ever watch the pitcher? The pitcher has like the coolest job ever. And I was a pitcher. Now, if you're on the mound, right? You ever see pictures? Put your hands together like this real quick. And just, I want you to just go through your motion and make pretend that you're a pitcher. Okay? Could you just go through that and go through it and say, make pretend you're a pitcher. Oh, make pretend you're a hitter. Make pretend you're a hitter. You're a hitter? Boom. Are you lefty? Oh, look at that. Show me your swing. Show me your swing. Like that. Come on. Let me have a good swing like you're going to hit a home run. Come on. Bam! Awesome. Show me again right now. Show me again. Don't you ever do that again! Would you like to play for a coach like that? No. Now, what if I said, Ethan, next time when you swing, I'd like you to take your hands back. Take your hands back like this. Take it back. Take it back. Take it back. Take it back like this. Take it back like this. Like that. Okay? Now, look at the pitcher over there. Look at the pitcher over there. Now take a little step with your foot and take a big swing like that. Very good. Now swing harder this time. Swing harder. Now, I just showed you how to do it right. So here you go. Don't do it the way you did it earlier. Do it the way I just showed you. Could you do that? Go ahead. Swing now. Swing right. Oh, better than that. Come on. Swing hard. Boom. Very good. Good job, buddy. Good job. Now sit down, please. So here's what we're thinking. The Lord doesn't say just put something off and doesn't tell you how to put something on. Well, just stop doing that. Those coaches, to me, sorry, if you're that kind of coach, retire. Teachers that are like that, retire.
I've never preached before.
I got to put on the bond of perfectness. Here we go. Here's where I'm at. God says put off something. He says put on. Again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's powerful for doctrine, reproof, then correction, then instruction in righteousness. So we go to the Word of God for all four pieces, that the man of God may be perfect. He says here, verse number 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Put off, put on, and let me reinforce how this is going to go every single day in your life. Let me give this to you so that you begin finishing well, so that you can, as it says in verse number 16, let the word of God, word of Christ dwell in you richly. It doesn't say just open up and do your devotions. It says, let the word of God do what? Dwell. What does it mean to dwell? Anybody? Say nice and loud. Living in? Be at home in. He's saying, let the word of Christ make a home in you richly. Invite him in. Allow the word of God to dwell. He says there, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with, he tells you how again to do it. He doesn't say, just Ethan, stop. He says, Ethan, stop doing that bad. No, he says, let me show you how to do it right. I correct you after reproving you. I say, put off something and put on something. And then I say, here's the maintenance every day, that you teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever, verse 17, you do in word and deed, or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's a whole message right there. When you look up there, you say, follow a daily process of dwelling in His peace and word. There's a lot of peace there. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Yes, we mentioned that earlier. The peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. That saves you. The peace of unity. It's the body in peace. And it's the peace that we're thankful. It's right there. Be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, unified, and be thankful. It's all right there. Let it rule. Take over your heart. Take over your life. This is the God, incredible, divine, sovereign peace. Let it rule in your, let it be over you. Let it be all in your heart. Oh my. It's beautiful to see that peace come. That's what floods our soul when we go through what we go through, all of us together. Let the peace of God Why do I get so crazy, anxious? The world you live in, real quick, free of charge commercial, people are on the edge. People are not at peace. They answer you with, why are you so stressed out? No, I just asked you a question, Jeff. Why are you jumping down my throat? I didn't. They use the words like stressed out and I'm under pressure. I'm anxious, not at peace. Who can give peace? Prince of Peace. God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He reconciles us, now we're at peace. And He's writing this to the church telling us, hey, the Word comes into play here. The Word of Christ dwelling in you richly in all wisdom. To begin finishing well, we bring it all back to above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. When you put on charity, you can't wait to read the Word of God. But it works the opposite, I mean the contrary, or the, what am I looking for, the correlating way. I get that love and that charity when I open up the Word of God, because it is His love letter to us. And it's beautiful. And it's sweet. And when you read it chapter by chapter, say, I can't understand it. Read the chapter again. That's what I was taught, and it works. Well, I can't read it again. Well, I just read one verse. No, read the whole thing. It's okay. This year, don't settle for 4 verses today or 8 verses. Read a whole chapter. Read a 2 chapters. Read 3 chapters. I didn't get to it this morning. I didn't get up early enough. Do it at night before you go to bed. Let the Word of Christ dwell. Make home in you. You know how you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God? It's a simple thought. The Word. It does do that because it's alive. It's living. And you put that all together and you go, oh my goodness, that's right. It's not magical. It's not just this special little thing that happens by me just crossing my fingers and driving the car just right and winking at people and not giving them signals and things like that. That's not how this works. I spend time with the Word. I spend time in the Lord. He fills me up. The Spirit of God gets a little bit more of me, a little bit less of of myself. And the peace of God rules in my heart. And it shows me how I'm unified in the body. And I'm thankful for all my people that I go to church with. And I'm in the body of Christ with all of you. And I think it's so incredible. And we dwell right there in that Word of Christ. And it's in wisdom. And we teach and admonish one another. We lift each other up. You become teachable, but you also are apt to teach. You teach and are taught. There's never a place in your life where you should not be able to learn again and again and again. The willingness to learn is a simplicity of the disciple. I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to learn. And that goes along with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. And you go back to psalms and you go, oh my goodness. It's the most beautiful hymn book in the world. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee I do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to Thee. It just warms you. And then it continues there. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all to the glory. Do all to the glory. It's really been really good to just sit in His Word and give Him a home for the Word each night that we've been together, and that's what's been going on. We've allowed the Lord to take the Word of Christ and dwell in us richly in all wisdom. So here's that part about tying together my illustration with Ethan. You see, when you say put on
charity above all things. This young man will not receive that instruction unless his heart is willing to receive someone saying, you need to do it differently. I love you, and I care about you, and I want you to be like my son, Jesus Christ. I predestinated you to be conformed to the image of my son, Jesus Christ. Once I saved you, that's what I desire for you. And I want you to be conformed to his image and be like him. So it means that you are going to have to allow the word of Christ to dwell in you. But above all things, let me just trump all of that, you need to put on charity. Because if you will not put on charity, then the message on loss, that was a nice little message. The message on being gifted, I have more gifts than anybody in the church. I wish they'd please recognize me and put me in charge. I cannot believe that the promises of God, no one else can see them. I see them. I'm like the best Christian I know. And then you stop and you go, wait a minute here. That's not putting on charity. Because that's the unconditional love of God. Agape. Unconditional. I give with nothing expected in return. So I'm supposed to put on that right there for everyone. 1 Peter chapter number 4 is our concluding verse. As I put up on the screen our concluding statement. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 8. There's that phrase, and above all things. And above all things, have fervent charity where? Among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. What a beautiful, I know that Bible verse, Pastor. That may be true, but it may be stuck in your cerebral cortex, and it's as hard as mine, and it's not moving its way down. Just like those people that never get saved. I know what God did. I know what God said. I know what God's doing. I read the whole Bible through 5 times. You're full of baloney. But people say that stuff to you because they never allowed this truth that they have to move to a place of convicting and moving their heart to call upon the name of the Lord to save them. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Up there it says this. Anyone and everyone can begin finishing well starting right now. Starting right now. Starting on December 31st. Promise, gifted, loss, above all. What would the Lord have you respond to tonight? It's a new year in just a few hours. Please bow for a word of prayer. With your heads bowed, your eyes are closed, let me just ask you a question. It's up on the wall, and I'll just ask it. Believers, followers, people that are different because we're Christians, born again, and we're at the alternative place of where the world would be. We're here to gather together at church. And it says, what would the Lord have you respond to tonight? What would he have you respond to? That's between you and God. Let me pray for you. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, as it so aptly says in our passage of Scripture in Colossians 3, whatsoever you do, word or deed, all in the name of Jesus. We come in prayer and we acknowledge your power and your presence, Holy God. We acknowledge the Spirit of the living God. We acknowledge the precious Word of God. We acknowledge the Son of God, the Most High King, the Alpha and Omega.
We recognize who you are, God. You're God Almighty. You're holy. And you desire so much more out of us, so much more that you provided all that we need because Christ is all in all. And so I pray for the church body of First Bible Baptist Church in Lancaster that there's movement in the heart and it causes movement in the feet and in the knees to God say, I'm going to begin finishing well. Right now, and reiterate that with you, Lord, in whatever shape and form it looks like, I just tell you, God, that I desire to finish well. May you, God, have your way in our time of invitation and prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
Real or fake? It's artificial, isn't it? Looks good, though. From a distance. I mean, from a distance, it's like, yeah. But when you touch it, you smell it, you feel it. You know it's not authentic. It's not real. Mark left. He was sent. Took his family to another place. Another state. Uprooted, left his friends, left his church, left Brother Mike, all those steak dinners he had. He became a missionary. He went. He adopted a new family, just like Cindy and I have. We left. Left Mike. Left our home. Left all our friends. And they've been replaced. With a new family. Rarely do I get a chance to see my family. And I'm thrilled when I do. My adopted family, I'm with you all the time. Through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Right? So the point is, above all, is this all you have? Do you have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof? For years, I listened to the preaching of the Word of God and I was deceived. Not by the Word. I was deceived by myself. By the devil. Letting me think that I had it. I had the book. I had the church. I had my wife, my family, the kids. I had the ministry. Didn't realize that when the Bible said love, it meant real love. Not the artificial kind. The kind that we give. That's the talent that Mark talked about. God wants us to give love that's not ours, love that's His. Fruit of the Spirit. His love is genuine love. First Corinthians 13. Love beareth all things. I'm done. I can't deal with this anymore. I'm through. Believeth all things. Lord, I can't do this anymore. Thank you very much. That's why I'm here. So trade in your artificial fruit for the real stuff. Where does the real stuff come from? I'll tell you. It's right here. It's right here. Lord, I give you myself. I yield myself. I surrender myself. Every day. To your will. To your plan. To your goals. Your son said, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, let that be true in my life this day. I pray in Jesus' name. But you've got plans. You've got goals. You've got your day timer. You've got your agenda. We have to surrender that agenda. Because above all, He's above all. This is the time where you make a decision. Like I said, if you make this decision there, the devil will convince you that you didn't make it there. If you make it in private, that's fine. But you have no witness other than the Holy Spirit. And the devil will convince you you didn't make this decision. Public decision is usually showy. So if you're full of pride, you can go forward and let everybody see that you made a decision. It's just like raising hands in churches. Don't you dare raise a hand to praise God unless you know your hand is clean. That there's no blood on that hand. Carnal worship is carnal. But holy worship, He accepts. Don't go to the altar to pray to be seen. Go to the altar. Say, Lord, I surrender all. Lord, we've heard from the Word of God. We've heard from the man of God. We've heard from the heart of God and we've heard from the heart of a man who you have stewarded with one of the most tragic losses of anything a mom and dad could ever imagine. We might be paralyzed. We might be so afraid to think, Lord, if I give you my all, will you? No. Maybe not. But we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So we all choose our personal relationship with God. You are where you are by your own choices. Bottom line, that's it. We can encourage you. We can challenge you, but we can't force you. So are you willing to surrender your artificial fruit for the real thing? The fruit of the Spirit is real. It's from Him through you to others. Period. And don't glory in it because it's not you. It's Him. Above all these things, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And put off, avoid, shy away from, and if worse come the worse, flee youthful lust. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us. Thank you for the servant of God you brought to us. Help us to be careful. With what we've heard, the sensitive family facts that we've learned this week, help us take those in prayer. Guard those truths close to our heart. And like the Apostle Paul said, Lord, what will you have me to do? If you give me tomorrow, what would you have me to do? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.